From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made this past Friday when the temperature briefly flirted with 70 degrees. During this pandemic, so many of us are doing what the healthcare community begs us to do. We're staying home, but we long to be outside, to breathe the air, to feel connected with nature. And for a few hours last Friday especially, it felt like spring was really kicking off. It is officially spring, of course, and the earth is waking up. And one of the few activities that we don't have to scale back or abandon during this time is planting, gardening, growing. Maybe you've already started. Maybe you're ready. Maybe you have questions and you plan to take this opportunity to learn. This hour, a conversation about something we can be doing, growing. And our guests this hour include the co-founder of Fruition Seeds, Petra Page Mann, is back with us. Hi, Petra.
Why, hello. Thank you, Evan.
Nice to have Nathaniel Mish with us as well. Nathaniel is urban farming and edible education specialist for FoodLink. Welcome back, Nathaniel. How are you?
I'm doing well, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And Pamela Reese-Smith is with us, community garden coordinator for the city of Rochester. Pamela, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Evan. How are you? I haven't talked to you or heard your voice in a while. So nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. And a brief interlude. I do want to bring in Brett Dahlberg, who is the health reporter for WXXI. We just heard the governor, Brett. I want to get your take on what we're learning locally, because as our listeners now know, we've got 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. updates on numbers. What's the story that you're seeing with the virus and with the community action today here in Monroe County and in Western New York, Brett?
Evan, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me.
You are, actually. That's the first time. You've always wanted to say that.
But I've been planning it for the last few hours. We have news today that our first two people who had tested positive for COVID-19 had been isolated to prevent the spread of that disease, have been released for isolation after testing negative. That includes, I know, one of those people is the first person who tested positive for the disease in Monroe County. And what this means is that as people start to resolve, as they start to get better, we expect, if the novel coronavirus is like other coronaviruses, and this is something that we don't know yet, but we're going on our knowledge of other similar looking viruses, that after somebody resolves, it's likely that they have at least some immunity to future infection. And so when the governor is talking about getting the economy restarted, or about when we might be able to end some of the social isolation, or when we might be able to have people start reporting back to work, all of this is a long way off. And what's important to focus on now, health people are telling me, and the governor and other officials are saying, what's important to focus on now is staying inside. But there are also people who are starting to plan for what happens next. And the people who have had the disease and likely developed at least some immunity are going to be important to starting to get things back to work. So we know now that two people who have been treated for COVID-19 in Monroe County have resolved and are now out of mandatory isolation, although the guidance for them is still, to continue following the same rules that apply to everybody else. Stay inside as much as you can. One other thing that we're looking at today is the plans that hospitals are submitting, that hospital systems are submitting, for how to increase their capacity. The governor has talked about the need for more hospital beds, tens of thousands more hospital beds than we currently have in the state. And we're looking likely at a need for more hospital beds locally also. And so over the last couple of days, hospital systems have been preparing those plans. They're submitting them to the governor's office yesterday and today, and those plans are going to lay out how they could respond to an anticipated surge in people who need hospital care, in particular people who need care in an intensive care setting.
Okay. And Brett, one other point before I let you go here. We saw the county executive on social media and in other platforms highlighting this idea that by these metrics, Monroe County is doing pretty well with shutting down, with stopping our traffic, with staying home. And they measure these things in various ways. And it does look like people are taking that seriously. To the extent that the president wants to get this country reopened, and we all understand why. There's no doubt that everybody wants that. It's a question of what is prudent. In this time, I think we've seen enough in the last 10 days or so to at least observe that here in Western New York, there's a whole lot of people who've mobilized pretty quickly to take this seriously from the metrics we can gather. Fair?
Fair. And also, you know, our apex, our surge is yet to come.
Right.
We're still anticipating. The governor said 21 days. The people that I've talked to have said a couple of weeks. And so we're still anticipating that we're not through the worst of it yet. I have not yet talked to a public health researcher or an epidemiologist who has said anything other than it is irresponsible to talk about lifting these restrictions now. They're saying it's important to plan for it, but that's not what we should be looking at right now. What we should be looking at now is an understanding that these are going to have to stay in place for at least another few weeks until we hit the apex of the surge.
And lastly, Brett, I see the Federalist, among others. Sometimes these ideas kind of gain some velocity. And so we're starting to see people say, well, maybe we'll do coronavirus parties like they did chickenpox parties for kids. Everybody gets it, get it out of the way, move on with your life. I don't know a single doctor who thinks that's a good idea. And to the extent that we're starting to see that on social, I'm just going to listen to the medical community. And I mean, I'm looking straight down the list here. I'm looking at five doctors right away jumping on this stuff, saying there's no such thing as doing this in a controlled manner, et cetera. Have you heard any doctor even raise this as an idea being a good one, Brett?
I haven't. One person wrote to me last night and just unsolicited said what a bad idea he thought that was. Gaining immunity is something that works if the disease can be vaccinated against, which we don't have in this case, and if it's not tremendously communicable to people who are vulnerable to death. And that is the case with COVID-19. The disease is contagious among people who are especially vulnerable. And so if we're looking at saving lives, that's not a strategy that I'm hearing from people that they're in favor of.
Okay. Thanks as always. And we'll look for more of your reporting, the tireless work. Thanks for making time for the program, Brett.
My pleasure, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Brett Dahlberg is WXXI's health reporter and is bringing you the kind of reporting every day that I think makes you realize just how important public radio is. So let's get to something a little more pleasant. And I was so glad to see Petra Page Mann's name in my email inbox the other day because, you know, Petra, we're all working hard to kind of cover these stories and make sure we're up to date on what the medical community needs and wants and trying to figure out the path forward. But we know that standing outside and breathing the air is okay. We know that getting our hands in nature is okay. Why did you reach out in particular? Are you starting to hear from more people who are interested in seeds and growing?
Every day of my life, I hear more and more people saying that, and especially in the last 3 weeks, it's just been the exponential curve of awareness that is hitting our nation in other ways is hitting us with that same interest in gardening, which is so exciting in this time of just extraordinary grief and sadness and confusion and anger and all of these other things that equal and opposite is growing in our gardens. So it's a huge honor to be able to be present with people that way.
Yeah, and we've already have listener questions queued up. People are calling the program. I've got a pile of emails. Listeners, listeners, if you've got questions for Petra, Nathaniel, or Pamela this hour as we talk about growing, gardening, what you can do, this would be a great program, coronavirus or not, but I think so many people are so ready to be outside. So if you've got questions and you want answers, you can call the program to the extent that we've got lines available, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And the email for the program is connections@WXXI.org. Nathaniel Mish with FoodLink. What's keeping you busy right now, and how do you see FoodLink's role and what you'd like to see people know about what they can be doing right now?
Sure. Well, I just finished up the morning actually working in our kitchen where we're preparing 5,000 meals a day to distribute through our centers and schools here. But also on the urban ag side of things, I've been working with Pam and Petra and gardeners across Rochester to develop a community response to COVID-19 through the lens of urban agriculture. So a couple quick updates that I wanted to share is some of your listeners might be familiar with the Urban Agriculture Conference that we've hosted through the Urban Ag Working Group every spring. We have postponed that until at least fall 2020. But we're working on sharing a lot of resources online and collecting input from people on what would be helpful for them to learn and to feel connected with their fellow gardeners in Rochester. So the best way to get involved with that conversation is to contact the Urban Ag Working Group through Facebook, and folks can engage with us through there.
Okay. And again, listeners, if you got more questions this hour, we're going to take them. Pamela Reese Smith with the City of Rochester, Community Garden Coordinator. What's the outlook for community gardens? What can people be doing? What can you be doing right now?
Well, it's really interesting. I've been getting emails and phone calls from people. You know, I got an email yesterday asking, you know, can I do a group activity in my garden, in my community garden? And one of the things that I wanted to make clear to folks is, you know, if it's more than, you know, yourself and one other person that you can be distanced from, I would suggest that you don't do group gardening because, you know, this is Rochester's, you know, premier time of the year for community gardening. So this time of year, usually people, you know, are out and cleaning up their gardens, they're setting up their growing spaces. You know, we're going to be not able to do that like we normally do. So I'm hoping that people are being careful, you know, with that. You know, no group gardening, you know, at this time. And as we learn more about, you know, the safety of that, we will be letting all of our gardeners know. We also know that right now people can grow. You know, if you have seeds at home, and I know that Petra is probably going to, you know, chime in on this as well. You know, all of your leafy green vegetables, you know, all of them, your lettuce and arugula and kale and all those types of vegetables, you can actually start them now to be ready to put in the ground. And I encourage anyone, you know, who knows now that we could have a food crisis, that we're going to be gardening more. And let's get these gardens going and let's get busy.
And I appreciate, by the way, the point, Pamela, as we think about community gardening or doing the work outside, I think we are we're probably on the cusp of all learning how to do this delicate outdoor dance pretty soon. And here's what I mean by that. You know, pretty soon we're going to have the kind of weather where you can have an outdoor fire at night. But can you sit outside with your fire 10 feet away from people? Can you not share any containers or food or plates or anything like that? Can you take walks in ways that are sort of separated but still together? Can you go on hikes that are not going to touch any of the same surfaces or be within each other's sort of breath range? I mean, we're all doing this. We are learning how to do this. And I really appreciate Pamela saying, you know, just be mindful of that because we all want to be outside, but give that space, keep those guidelines. That's great stuff. Petra, you want to follow up from Pamela there? And then what we're going to do here is we're just going to rip off a bunch of listener questions for all of our guests. But if you want to follow up, Petra, go ahead.
Fabulous. As in, like, what can we be planting now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I think right now the first question I should probably kick to all of you before we get to specific listener questions is, what are you actually doing now and what is viable right now to grow?
Fabulous. Well, certainly we've already talked spinach and peas in the ground, kale and arugula. Pamela nailed it. You can also plant poppies and sweet peas. I keep coming back to this place of, like, yes, we need to feed ourselves with food, but we need to feed ourselves with beauty too. And certainly calendula you can plant now, and it's edible and beautiful and medicinal. But radishes, turnips, shallots, cilantro. Cilantro, I always grew up thinking it was a summer crop, and it actually loves to thrive in the cold. So those are all things you can tuck in the ground today. And even if it snows, it snowed an inch on our farm the last few days. The snow is already gone, and the peas are undaunted, still coming up. So even though the air temperatures are fluctuating dramatically, that soil temperature is at a point where it's only going to be raising and slowly, and it's warm enough now. So any seeds that we sow here in our area are in that department that I just shared are going to be just fine.
Awesome. Nathaniel.
Yeah, I mean, I basically just followed Petra's recommendations and put all of those seeds in at my own garden. We're also spinning up our indoor seeds starting. So if you've got some lights that you can start seeds under, I'll be starting peppers and eggplant and marigolds this week and tomatoes next week. And then following those up with some shorter crops like kale and collards that, you know, you can start now and only need a few weeks before being able to be planted out in late April.
Okay, Pamela, what's on the top of your list that's happening today, this week?
I just wanted to, you know, to remind folks that, you know, backyard gardening and vacant lot gardening in the city of Rochester are two different monsters. So vacant lot gardening, you know, definitely we will not be, you know, having our normal activities. So we're asking people not to go to their vacant lot gardens and do group activities there. But if you have backyard gardening, you know, by all means, you know, we're asking people to go out, you know, and sow your seeds, you know, get out and sow your seeds and get some fresh air. And just like Petra and Nathaniel are saying, you know, we're all trying to start early and we're going to have an early spring. Hopefully we'll be able to get a lot of harvest.
All right. Let's get to the phone lines. And I think from Pennsylvania, this is Ray. Ray, you're in Pennsylvania?
Yes, I am.
Listen on the mobile app, I hope.
Well, I'm on your website also.
There you go. That'll work.
Live, and right now, of course, I'm on the phone. And if it wasn't for Petra, I wouldn't have found out about your station.
Petra is a great ambassador for public radio, and she's got a voice made for it, too. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, my question is, I had ordered seeds twice, just this weekend. But I notice you don't have any cauliflower, which has become quite important since I decided not to indulge in mashed potatoes anymore. Are you getting any cauliflower seeds?
Ray, I'm so glad. Cauliflower is one of my favorite vegetables as well. And it's actually one of my deepest, saddest parts of my soul's closets to admit that we really struggle to grow cauliflower seed on our farm here in New York. And the vast majority of cauliflower seed available commercially on the planet are F1 hybrids that are highly patented and protected. And so there's no cauliflower that we've found that we love that isn't patented all the way to the horizon that I can share and feel good about. So that's my sad sob story. It's absolutely one of my top five favorite vegetables, and it devastates me to not share it with you. But yeah, as a seed company, we focus on seeds that we can grow and actually be regionally adapting here in our short seasons. And if we can't grow them here, 60% of our seeds are right on our farm. Another 30% come from other organic growers in the Northeast, and the balance come from other small-scale organic seed growers in the Pacific Northwest that have a better climate. And we keep working with them for a cauliflower variety that is going to be, you know, a really robust variety, and we're just not there yet. Cauliflower is one of those crops that industrial agriculture has left behind.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. I get the ones, if you just get one or two warm days and they'll start to bolt, and it's really difficult. I was kind of hoping you would have it, but
we're totally working on it, Ray. Yeah, I'm
hey,
right there with you.
Ray, okay.
one of the other things that you can do too, if your plants are, if they're growing too fast, is just cover them. Cover them from the sun so that they grow a little slower. You can slow down the the sun from beating them down and blooming too soon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah, just cover them with, some type of paper or a cloth, something, natural that you could put over them so the sun doesn't beat them down. We were very successful with them not, growing out too soon doing that.
Thank
you.
Yeah, go ahead there, Nathaniel.
You can also, for sensitive plants like that, if you plant them just to the north of crops that will get taller, like your tomatoes, say, those tomatoes mm-hmm. will also provide some of that shading that Pamela's referencing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
a way to use that sort of height as a companion planting strategy.
Thank you, Ray.
And to be clear, we grow To be clear, we grow lots of cauliflower ourselves to eat as a vegetable. It's the seed saving that is really not easy in any way for us. So yeah, growing cauliflower, totally easy by comparison.
Gotcha.
That is not the limiting factor for growers here.
Yeah. Ray, thank you. Thanks for the phone call from Pennsylvania. We appreciate that. Let's get to Rochester. This is Marcia next. Hi, Marcia. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm not able to hear Petra on my phone, so I will try and listen to it simultaneously online. I live in Avon. I know it's an early spring, and I know I can plant peas and lettuce and radish. Is it too early, or do I have to wait for the forsythia to bloom, like everyone says? I don't want to put them in and lose them, but it sounds like it's okay to do it now.
All right, Marcia, thanks. And if you want to take it off the air and listen, that's great. And I'll kick it over to Petra first. Go ahead, Petra.
Absolutely. Throw them on in. You know, I love those little mnemonics of, you know, St. Patrick's Day, planting peas, way to the forsythia. Honestly, so many things are shifting. And as a general rule that I've noticed across the years, if your snow is melted and your snowdrops are up, by all means, plant peas. And that goes for radishes, arugula, kale, any of the very earliest crops. So spinach included in that. It might take them a little bit longer to germinate, but basically if the snowdrops in your yard, if the crocus are up, the soil temperature is at a warmth that's going to allow those crops to survive. And, you know, I think another piece I'd love to lift up is that we have a culture where we have kind of been taught to say, oh, A, B, C, D, the answer is C. And we need to be cultivating our critical thinking and really thinking outside the box, gardening outside the box, and looking at all, observing all these things in our ecosystems. I have this perpetual calendar that I've been recording when the snowdrops are up and when the red-winged blackbirds return and when all of these things in our ecosystems, as they're shifting, so that across the years we see emergent patterns. And so that's one of my favorite things. So rather than thinking, and I don't want to be that person in our community that people are like, Petra's doing this, now we can do this. I instead would love to be a person that's like, here, pay attention to all these little things. And then just play and experiment. And the more we're all experimenting, the more we're learning. We've got plenty of seeds I'm excited to share with you. Let's just plant them and see what happens next.
Nathaniel, Pamela, anything to add there?
Hey, gardening is an experiment. You know, and every year when we grow, everything is going to grow differently because we have, you know, such a diversity in our temperatures. So, you know, you should have fun. You should get them in. See how they go. If they don't go well, start another crop. Don't be afraid.
Nathaniel?
Mm-hmm. I think also, you know, paying a lot of attention to the microclimates in your own space, you know, which little spots get a little more shade. You know, maybe if you want to plant even earlier against a south-facing wall that's going to have a little more heat, those sort of, you know, differences that are really operating on the scale of feet or yards can really help you get the most out of even limited spaces.
You just heard Nathaniel Misch, urban farming and edible education specialist for FoodLink. Pamela Reese Smith is community garden coordinator for the city of Rochester. Petra Page Mann is co-founder of Fruition Seeds. And, you know, we've got a lot of feedback from listeners, a lot of questions. I'm letting the listener questions kind of drive this hour because I think after Petra reached out a couple of days ago, the idea was, you know, we need to talk about things that are coming to life, things that are growing, getting outside, putting our hands in the soil, and they're doing that for us this hour. And in some ways, it sort of feels nourishing, this conversation. It feels good. So let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll come right back to your questions next. Coming up in our second hour, we're joined by Anthony Magnabosco. He has made a living out of talking to people with different points of view. He's not aggressive. In fact, he says most of us, when we try to argue or convince others of our points of view, do it very poorly. He has a very different system for understanding others and getting them to reassess their own viewpoints, including our own viewpoints. A conversation you don't want to miss next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you have emailed the program, we're going to get through as many as we can. If you've called, we'll get as many as we can. We are loaded with feedback on this subject of planting, gardening, seeds, and more. Scott in Prattsburg is next. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be brief for the other callers. This goes out to your panel, and I hope you can help me. Last week I put a bunch of seeds in. Some have been sitting around for 3 years, some even longer than that. But I must say the one that came up was, I think, from Petra's store in Naples. And within 3 days it started. These are morning glories, and they're growing like Jack and the Beanstalk. And my question is, they're indoors. How easily can they be transplanted outside? And the seeds, why do some seeds grow better than others? Is it a hybrid? Or if you could help me with that, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, Scott, thanks very much. Go ahead.
So, yeah, this is Pamela. Hi. I think Petra will be able to chime in on this as well. You know, yeah, I think the seeds are finicky. You know, I think we can keep them. I've had old seeds that I've grown, and they've come up, nicely. You know, but with the marigolds, I love them, first of all. I grew them last year, and I grew them along a trellis that's in my garden. I have a 10-foot trellis, and I put them at the very bottom of the trellis and made sure that I put them where the posts were first. And I kind of started, training them, to go up my trellis. So what I would do, I don't know what you're growing in. What did you grow them in?
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have him there. He can follow up maybe here.
Scott, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
See, I'm not sure what you grew them in. But what I would suggest is be careful with the roots. You could take, go outside and find where you're going to plant them and carefully dig your tiny holes, because your marigold roots are very delicate and tiny. So you'll be very careful with them. Maybe use a spoon, or something that you can scoop them out with where you're not, tamping with the roots that well, and then put them in the ground and cover them, and they should grow up nicely for you. And as they get to start getting inches on them, you're going to need to train them. So you're going to get you some delicate threads or something that you can use, twine, some really small twine, to start, training it up, wherever you're going to be, wanting it to be showcased.
All right, Petra, go ahead.
Yeah, in the seed longevity department, it's one of the greatest sadnesses that I have that seed companies are like, buy our seeds every year. Seeds will last 2, 3, 5 years really consistently, even just in a cupboard in your kitchen, unless you have little tiny mammals that will think they're as delicious as we do. But when people say, how do I take care of my seeds? I say, just keep them out of your microwave. Seeds are quite tenacious. And I'm really grateful that you're holding on to them and that you're sprouting them. And if they're high quality seeds to begin with, they will last 3 to 5 years without any trouble. And morning glories, this brings me to one of the most common mistakes that I hear people say, especially this time of year. We are the harbingers of spring, right? Us and the robins. And so we want to start all of our seeds right now. And one of the easiest and most common mistakes to make is just planting things too early. And one of the ironies is that an older, more stressed transplant is going to be way less abundant, healthy, productive compared to a younger, unstressed transplant. And so something like morning glory is very frost sensitive. So we won't be planting our morning glories outside until the end of May. So you're about 2 months too soon. So if you have a great light inside and can keep potting it up, there's a chance that they might survive. And I can't recommend highly enough that you just at least give it a go. But I hope you have a few more seeds left, because, morning glories, if I heard you correctly and say morning glory, it's just a little too early. And, we have a whole planting calendar I'd love to share as well. And you can hop on our website, and every order that we send out has a whole little postcard-sized planting calendar. But you can find them on our website. And I'm about to send out, actually tomorrow, an email that has Fruition's entire garden planning guide in it. And it has transplant charts and direct sow charts. And we're right here in Naples. We're on the southern edge of Canada. We're like, we are zone 5. So we are all over Western New York. What we're doing is really relevant. So I can't wait to share
So Petra, let me just jump in. Petra, and ask you then, remind our listeners where to find that, because I already have people. First of all, Carlos is writing to us from Venezuela, listening online in Venezuela right now.
Oh, I love Carlos.
We heard,
hi, Carlos. So,
we heard from someone in Pennsylvania. We've got people all over the place talking about your blog. So where can people find you online, Petra?
We're at fruitionseeds.com, and fruition is spelled F-R-U-I-T-I-O-N. Fruition seeds, as in come to fruition. And I hope one day that you all will come to fruition, maybe after we all wash our hands for a few more months.
there you go. All right, let me rip through some more emails and phone calls. Do you want to jump in there, Pamela?
Yeah, I just wanted, Patrick, can you just maybe explain, because I didn't want to tell, you know, Scott not to grow his seeds inside, but my most successful morning glories have been grown right in the ground. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it is early, but you know, you do have a better success if you're growing them directly in the ground.
Totally. And on our website, on our blog, and join our email list. I'm going to send this email out tomorrow that has our direct sow charts and our transplant charts. And on the back of each of our seed packets, it's kind of a baby encyclopedia. And they say if a seed is best transplanted or direct sown, or there are things like basil that honestly don't give a hoot. You can transplant her, you can direct sow her, and your lettuce, your basil, your kale is just going to roll with it. So on the back of all of our packets has those little hints as well.
Deb writes to say, you have no idea how much hearing a show about gardening was exactly what I needed to hear. Please keep the normal outside world shows coming. You got it, Deb. We're going to do our best here. Let me get another email. This is from, boy, there's so much. We're going to try to get as much in as we can. Dan says the following. When will the city, county, state, or federal government begin a campaign to encourage and facilitate home and community gardens? I can't think of a more important message to be sending, especially considering the potential economic disaster that would accompany a long economic pause. If any level of government acknowledges the potential for disruption of food systems due to the virus and cares about the food security of their constituents, this should be a high priority. The coronavirus is presenting an opportunity to address the issue of food security, and we can do this before it becomes an absolute dire necessity due to climate disruption. Nathaniel and Pamela, I'd love to get you on that both. And Nathaniel, I'll start with you. What would you say to Dan?
Sure. So I 100% agree with Dan. I will say that even at the federal level, there is movement. In the last ag bill, they did establish a small office of urban agriculture. There is currently a petition going around, and we'll share this out on the Urban Agriculture Working Group page, to support an increase of funding for that urban agriculture programming at the federal level. I'll let Pam speak to what's happening at the city level, but I'll say to everybody that the best way to get governments to pay attention to this is to be vocal about it, to be vocal about the importance of food as the basis of our health, and gardening as a really important thing that we can do to develop our communities. So if you want to get involved in that part, please get in touch with the Urban Agriculture Working Group on Facebook, and we will plug you into that conversation.
Okay, Pamela?
Yeah, thank you, Nathaniel. Nathaniel and the Urban Ag Group are doing a lot of work, you know, trying to, you know, help change policies and put policies in place that will make this, you know, community gardening better for most people. The city of Rochester has had community gardens, you know, for, you know, over 2 decades. You know, the gardens had grown, you know, tremendously. Last year, we had over 62 food-growing gardens growing on city vacant lots. And city vacant lots, you know, there are a lot of them. And people can actually walk in their neighborhood and find a lot that they think that they want to grow in, get their neighbors involved, go to the city of Rochester, get a permit to grow on that garden, and it's as simple as that. And you can, you know, grow your vegetables. You can, you know, get this food security, you know, continue. So 62 gardens last year is a lot. And we would like to double that this year and tell people, you know, to please think about, you know, starting a garden and think about, you know, helping feed your neighbors, because these gardens, you know, they have a big harvest. You know, there's a lot of food that comes out of them. So you can actually feed your neighbors and share with your neighbors. So you could call, you know, the city of Rochester to, find out about, garden permits, you can call 428-6807. And then you can get information about the vacant lot system. And currently, we're trying to work on, an even better way to interact with the community about community gardening. So, and then on top of the 62 edible gardens, we have another 65 gardens that grow, edible flowers and growing, ornamental flowers. So there's a huge gardening community, and I think that the government is answering to that. And I know that Mayor Warren is very adamant about us trying to figure out how to be better stewards for our community gardener.
Let's get through as much as we can here. Melinda in Rochester been waiting. Go ahead, Melinda.
Hi. I live in the North Winton Village area, and over the last few years, I've started a garden in my front yard, and it has been not only a connection with my community, with people coming by, it's also been something that's been very nourishing for me spiritually, physically. And Petra has been a huge inspiration for that. So I want to thank her. I use her as a resource a lot, going to her page. The one thing I wanted to bring up is, even I'm in the North Winton Village and my soil is very sandy, but I am self-isolating in Buffalo with my boyfriend, and his soil is very clay, has a lot of clay in it. So I wanted to talk, I wanted you guys to ask you about amending soils, and how we might be able to do that, and depending on what our soil is like. And also, second part of my question is bringing up starting gardens in your yard or in empty lots. Are you concerned with having any of that soil? Should we test that soil to make sure there's not any toxins or anything in the soil before we start to grow there? And right. I'll take my answer offline.
Hey, Melinda, thanks for calling. Time's running tight. I'll start with Petra. Go ahead, Petra.
I'm so glad that you lifted up soil testing, Melinda, and I'm so glad also that Pamela is on the call. Soil testing is pretty essential if you've never done a soil test on your garden. I think of soil testing as like you can hang out on a pontoon boat on the Great Barrier Reef. Have you actually experienced the Great Barrier Reef? Get a snorkel, get a snorkel test, a soil test. That's how you know what's actually going on underneath the surface. And there is so, especially if you're in an urban area, especially certainly if you have a house that you know has had lead paint in the past, it probably is worth just doing container and raised bed gardening right at the beginning, and just not even messing with the soil underneath. There is so much pollutants in our cities and more urban environments. But soil testing is a costs $20, and it's an amazing way to learn so much. But Pamela, I know you have so much more experience than I do in urban gardens and soil testing especially.
Yeah, so, technically, most of our city vacant lots that the city of Rochester get permits to garden on, there are places where buildings or houses have been torn down. And so we recommend that you do not disturb that soil. So raised beds, container gardening, is definitely key. So we do not encourage growing in the ground at all on those vacant lots because of that. So you build your beds. I have videos, that we can, post up, for people to learn more about, how to build raised beds. They're very simple to raise. You could grow in almost anything. And so never disturbing the soil. That's the key. We encourage people to never turn that soil and to build on top of that soil. Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of ways that you can put barriers on the underneath to prevent, any contamination. So I know that McDaniel and Petra and I will probably be doing some more work in educating around all of that.
All right. So in our last minute here, listeners, if we didn't get your email, I'm going to do something I don't often do. I'm going to send them to our guests because I want them to have a chance to answer your questions that we couldn't get on the air today. In our last minute, I'm going to ask Petra Page Mann in 60 seconds or less to do what you told me you could do in an email, which is you can describe why seeds are the perfect parable for this time. Why is that?
Seeds break open. And they transform the world by transforming themselves first. There are these tiny little things, acorns, that become oaks. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it takes that act of profound faith of breaking open any sense of normalcy they've ever known. If you walk outside in the forest right now, you'll see thousands and thousands of acorns breaking open. in the forest floor. And this is what we need to do now, and know that we have the soil underneath us and that we have the leaves around us and countless other plants and animals, and everything is coming back to life. And even though each of those acorns is individual and needs space from other acorns, all of a sudden, if we pay enough attention, they will become a forest in time. So here we go. This is our opportunity to break open, to change everything we've ever known, and to act as a collective rather than individual.
You stuck the landing, Petra Page Land. Petra Page Mann is the co-founder of Fruition Seeds. Hey, thank you for reaching out, Petra. I think our audience needed this hour, and let's do it again soon.
I couldn't agree more.
Fruition Seeds. Nathaniel Misch from FoodLink, thanks for the work that you and the team are doing. Really appreciate it, Nathaniel.
Thanks for having me on.
Pamela Reese Smith from the City of Rochester Community Gardens. Great guidelines this hour. Thanks for the time, Pamela.
Thank you, Evan, and keep up the good work, please. Keep educating people. We love you.
We love you, too. More connections coming up.